What is marriage? For some people, it is a simple ceremony, well orchestrated by parents and friends. For others, it is a simple contract formalized before a public authority. For other people, it is above all an unforgettable event. For still others, it is a different way of life, a union, a sharing, a popular phenomenon, a fact that sooner or later may come to exist. The list of opinions could be continued, including some reflections about divorce. Of course, it might be said, it depends on one's environment. In a theological school, other issues would probably influence us. In the face of the question, what is marriage? A few people responded immediately, it is a sacrament, and others have come to the same conclusion after some further discussion. The traditional equation, marriage, sacrament, is no longer conceived as being naturally obvious. It is for me very interesting to hear some people saying, get married for love, if there is love, then there is everything. And then to immediately hear the same people use expressions such as, if love ends, the marriage also ends. This only brings a sudden shift in the question, what is love? As we can imagine, there are always different assertions, different points of view that deserve attention, in which some definition of the too greatly abused word love can be found. The vast majority of the definitions refer to the sphere of sensuality, corporeality, and feeling, without any reference to the true meaning of love, which goes beyond sensuality, corporeality, and feeling, if it is understood in a philosophical and theological context that is able to explain all the phases that word love possess. Sensuality, corporeality, and feeling are in fact elements of human nature that must be understood and not condemned, but which do not constitute the whole person. Their meaning in the natural and supernatural order remains something that can only be interpreted in the light of a wider, higher, and deeper vision involving inevitably in the openness of man to his spiritual dimension and his natural inclination to search for God, who is not a concept, but a person. Only an encounter with God can actually provide an initial understanding of what true love is, and marriage can be considered as the sacramental expression of this encounter. It is in human nature to search for love, an unconditional love that is realized in the union of two people who mutually bind their lives through a pact made with each other and with God, which announces its validity to humanity. The groom and the bride, the agents of marriage, are called to be witnesses of their relationship by virtue and a sacrament of love, which makes them one flesh. We must try to answer this question. In the face of all the alternative perspectives the contemporary world seems to propose, it is still possible to demonstrate that the Christian marriage continues to have value today. For its meaning, the Christian marriage does not have a value, but is a value, in exactly the same way as with his concept of a person. A person has no freedom, but his freedom. For this upholds the sense of the words of Jesus when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The ontology and theology of Christ are the heart of the thought and life of every man who knows himself to be a unique work of art, loved and created by God. The great Italian philosopher Antonio Rosmini reflected on the question of marriage from different points of view in important works, which may be considered today as an extraordinary example of his broad education and sensibility. A large number of papers, studies and surveys written over time demonstrate the attention that scholars have had for his philosophical thought in his particular field. Here, I want to focus, but briefly, on some central aspects of his thoughts and issue of marriage, for I am convinced that his vision can contribute to a reconsideration of Christian marriage in the context of our contemporary liquid society. This society, still dazed by the aftermath of nihilism, senses the urgency for solid references that take maximally to the utmost into account the dignity of man in the complexity of his own existence. For its meaning, God reveals himself to man but imperfectly. The fact, however, that he does so makes it possible for man to enter into this special relationship with God, which is the basis of a relationship that Rosmini defines as a theocratic society. Man also can establish other types of society, but the purposes of these are always subordinate to that ultimate aim that is realized through full communion with God. Particularly important is the kind of society that Rosmini defines as conjugal society, because it is the source of the growth of the human species, which by consummating conjugal union comes to subsist in many individuals. So the human race comes into being and human nature enters or can enter into theocratic society with all the individuals in whom the society is destined to reveal and actuate itself. Thus, marriage contains something elevated that moved the Redeemer of the human race to rise it to the dignity of a sacrament. Getting married is the forming of a conjugal society. This means that being together in a certain place is not enough to form a society. Otherwise, a simple pile of stones would be a society, rather than a simple example of a material wall. Nor can the formation of a society be realized without the basis of sense and rationality. Otherwise, even animals would be able to set up a society. Umberto Muratore wrote, "The feeling of the animal is essentially individual. To seek pleasure and avoid pain is simply based on instinct, which by nature is blind and looks only for its own interest. The union of the brutes, more than a society, is a cohabitation." So we can ask, when do we have a society? A society is created when members consciously and freely attach a common goal to their union. This common purpose is to be understood as an asset to be achieved. For this, members need to agree to direct their action to the attainment and enjoyment of that good. So we can say that to have a society, intelligence is necessary. The union of bodies is not sufficient to create a society. It is necessary, therefore, that the social order be sought in intelligent souls. If we apply this conception to marriage, we obtain a clear and precise definition of what should be understood of Rosmini's conception of marriage. He wrote, "According to upright reason, husband and wife are two human beings who unite with all the fullness relatable between persons of different sex. This is the true concept of marriage." Continuing, we read this sentence, "Marriage, as I have defined it, is the full appropriate union between man and woman." What does the full appropriate union mean? To understand this concept, we must fully understand that a union cannot be attained without the truth. For Rosmini, in fact, the truth, which is unique to all humankind, unites itself the intelligence and will, giving humans the peace and joy that comes from the consciousness of his own rightness. In this way, we can understand why Rosmini wrote that it is clear that two intelligent beings can love each other. In this love, each loves all that in the other, every part of every endowment of the other, every good and pleasure of the other is loved, together with the peace, joy and dignity proper to the other. All these things are loved in the beloved according to their interest, merit that is limitlessly. If man has the courage to look at the reality of the things, to draw from it the meaning, to proceed according to reason, he realizes that all real beings belong to the real supreme principle of all the others. In this way, the human will is forced to find God. Thanks to this love, God himself enters as a third member into the conjugal society, because God becomes the common good both of himself and of the spouses. This union is an authentic, full communion in truth, virtue and God. It is in fact this threefold union that constitutes and guarantees the stable foundation of the conjugal union. This full union between man and woman, in which in both theory and practice the elements of sexual difference is important, demonstrates Rosmini's modern vision, which views the happiness of the spouses as a fundamental explanation of a spontaneous and true love. On the theoretical level, the sexual differences expresses the complementarity of the two sexes come together on a practical level. This conjunction is the basis of marital happiness, which can be blessed by the generation of children. A careful reflection is necessary in light of the complexity of the human being. The attitude of those who claim to eliminate as problematic the old complex issue of feelings, the inner upheaval, the tumult of the human heart, the passions, is unjustified. Just as it would be mistaken to forget the aspect of human rationality that has its own source of light and points of reference in God. When we consider all these things in relation to the concept of marriage, the inevitably emerging dimension of love in its highest form is love as full and complete self-giving. In marriage, in fact, the spouses give themselves to each other and do so completely. We could say that they love each other in God, for he is the inexhaustible source of the donative love of which St. John has been an exceptional witness.